Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Lemonada.
This is Eric Alvarez, and welcome to a bonus episode of my new favorite Futbolista. Throughout this season, my co-host, World Cup champion Megan Klingenberg, has introduced you to some of the most inspiring players at the FIFA Women's World Cup. Now, we're turning the tables and letting you get to know Megan better. Megan recently sat down with Andy Slavitt, the host of Lemonada's In the Bubble with Andy Slavitt, to discuss everything from how she got into soccer to her post-playing career goals. Without further ado, here's Megan Klingenberg being interviewed by Andy Slavitt.
This is In the Bubble with Andy Slavitt. I am pretty excited about the show I'm going to bring you today. If I asked you the question, what's the one part of society where women and men get paid equally? You already know the answer because you looked at the title of the show. So there's no prize money. But the answer is women's soccer. Women and men in the World Cup get paid exactly the same. Now, there's some reasons for that. And there was a lot of fighting and a lot of struggle. And everybody had an interesting role to play. The women who fought for it, the men who were getting paid more than the women, and what they all chose to do. And it's a fascinating story. And it's maybe one of the examples where the U.S. is actually ahead of the rest of the world, doing something right. And the question is, what does it foretell for other things? But it's something I want you to hear about today. From my guest today, Megan Klingenberg. Megan was part of one of those World Cup victories. She grew up at an age where there was no professional women's soccer. She grew up just as women were starting to come on the scene in the World Cup. And whether you're a soccer fan or not, and I will confess, I am a soccer fan. Kyle, our executive producer, who you all love, is a big soccer fan. But that's not why we're really doing the show today. Even if you're not a big soccer fan, I just tell you two things. One is these women are great. And there are very few places in society where we lead by so much. I mean, the women soccer in the U.S., they've won 4 World Cups, playing for their 3rd in a row. That doesn't happen on the men's side. And they've won 4 gold medals in the Olympics. So they are great. It is fun to watch your team do well. Then watch the Women's World Cup. It's on right now. We're leaving what they call the group stage and entering the single elimination tournament. So we'll talk a little bit of soccer just because that's what Megan does. And I'm always fascinated to talk about what people are passionate about. But the real story here is the new contract and the equality and the story around equality and this sort of age old point of view that men should be getting paid more than women because their commercials sell for more. And contrast that to what we're seeing here on the women's side. And I'm going to talk with Megan about that. So I'm excited to bring it to you. I'm hoping you have a good summer. Let's dig in with Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Does your endurance training prepare you for 7 back-to-back interviews?
And you know what? No, but that's okay because this has been a blast.
It is hard to do, though, to keep talking and keep answering the same questions. I completely understand.
Honestly, it's been an interesting challenge because I feel like I get to answer them in a different way every time. Some people, I think, would, you know, stick to the same script. But I was like, you know what? Let's see if I...
Let's make something up. Let me make something up.
Yeah. So you'll get the most unique and interesting perspective because, you know, I've gone through a lot.
Yeah, feel free to lie. Don't worry about the truth. What did you want to be as a kid?
Oh, well, I wanted to either be an astronaut or a soccer player.
How realistic did that seem? I mean, at what point did you think that this was a real possibility? You might be good enough.
Well, when I was growing up, there wasn't a women's professional league. Fun story. My mom and I, when I was little, used to take these little spontaneous road trips. She would just pull me out of school on a Friday and pick me up and we would head out on the road. And sometimes we would go, you know, to a museum or someplace fun. Or one time we went down, we were going down to the beach in North Carolina and it was kind of a longer weekend. And so we were driving down and it was Friday night and mom said to me, hey, we're going to make a quick stop off here and check out something. I'm like, what are we doing? She's like, just wait. So we stopped and we stopped in Chapel Hill and we watched the UNC Tar Heels play against some other team. I have no idea. But all I remember is sitting there at 9 years old being like, holy shit, I want to be one of them. Because they were imposing their will on the other team. Like they were the most badass women I'd ever seen in my life. And so I knew that I wanted to be a Tar Heel since I was 9 years old. And there wasn't professional soccer then for women. And the women's national team wasn't as well known at that point. It was only like 1995 or six or something like that. And I didn't really start getting into it after that Olympics. And then the 99 Women's World Cup, where that was a completely paradigm shift in my entire being, knowing that I wanted to be on that team and be one of those women.
So your dream came true. You went to North Carolina to play on that soccer team. As you said, this is early 90s, I think, when I think people were just starting to see the women's game emerge. And just for people who aren't soccer fans, probably know that the men's soccer team has sort of been they've never sort of competed at the elite level. Certainly not to that point. And they've had some better luck since, but nothing like the women's team. And starting with, as you mentioned, you know, there was a team in 99, which was the last time before you were there that they won the cup. So what was it like? Did you feel like you were part of something that was sort of starting to take the country by storm?
Oh, absolutely. I remember watching that World Cup and completely unequivocally falling in love with the game. And I was watching the final with my mom and my best friend at the time. And we had an NSYNC concert to go to that night. And if you remember teen girls, we were pretty obsessed with Justin Timberlake and the crew at that point. So my best friend keeps asking like, hey, when are we going to go? It's like going into overtime, right? And like, we're not going. Like we can't leave. It's overtime, you know? And then she just kept kind of being like, are we going? Are we leaving? Are we going to make NSYNC? And then they finally were like, you know, shut the hell up. We're watching the penalty kicks. Like, could this be any better? And the funny part was, is that NSYNC actually came on, I think, like an hour late. We didn't miss one song. So we got to catch the World Cup final with Brandi Chastain scoring that goal and then see NSYNC.
I was at that game.
You were there? How was that?
It's crazy. I mean, it was one of the most exciting things I've ever seen. The fact that the U.S. could win at soccer, could take it all, was just the most remote thing from anybody's mind. And there was, and I think that really did something to the psyche of something we'll get into in a few minutes, women's sports and how they're perceived in society, because I think that was a game changer in many respects. Now, we're going to talk about this World Cup where we're about to enter, we're about to leave the group stage, we're about to enter the single elimination part of this. For those World Cup fans, that's an exciting time. But before we talk about that, I want to just finish up a little bit on what type of player you are, were, and continue to be. You know, people describe your pre-game kind of pep talks. I don't know if there's a way to put it in words, but you're kind of well known for some of the leadership and the spirit and the way you pick people up. Was that kind of your always been your role? Was that always your real role on the team?
No, definitely not. I definitely grew into that as I got older and matured and thought about the type of leader that I wanted to be. But no, I was definitely not like that at the beginning of my career.
What's the craziest thing you like remember saying to like motivate a team?
I think I said something like grab your gas cans and your lighters and we're going to light this place on fire or something stupid like that.
Yeah, I say that at the beginning of every podcast too. It just gets the production team excited, you know. It gets the energy pumping. So let's talk about this tournament. What are you seeing in this tournament? We're talking about New Zealand and Australia. We've got, you know, the US playing. Tell us a little bit about what you're observing as kind of a former player who was there. We're going on our potential third consecutive championship potential. We're playing for it. You were there for the first one. What is this? This is crazy. What is that like?
Well, first of all, I'm just a fan this time, and it's so nice to just be a fan. I think in 2019, it was pretty hard for me because I was still dealing with a lot of emotions about not being on the team anymore. And now I've made my peace with that. And I'm just so happy to be a fan of this team and watch them go through the World Cup. But the one thing I've noticed as a fan watching this World Cup is parity. And it's honestly so good to watch. There are teams that have been surprisingly good in their first matches and have brought a lot of quality that I think a lot of fans haven't expected. But as you see, like, more women from different countries go to these big teams, play for these big teams, these big clubs in leagues that are, you know, going to stretch and challenge them, and then they bring those talents back to their countries, you're going to see these countries do better and become better. And that's what I've seen. And that has been one of the most...
Is that another way of saying the rest of the world is catching up to us?
No, it's just a pleasure. It's just a pleasure to watch good soccer. You know, what does catching up even mean, right? Like, I think that the U.S. is always pushing the envelope. I think that they're always playing on the edge of brave and, like, is it too much? And that's always going to drive us forward. I have no doubt mm-hmm. about our team ever pushing the envelope and being on the edge of, you know, history.
So what's the culture of it all? Why is the U.S. team such a winning team? And I think, you know, again, we have this context where, you know, soccer has been played kind of at a younger age in other parts of the world. You know, certainly on the men's side, the men's team has had a tough time, you know, getting past the quarterfinals. What is there about this team that, you know, over the years, and even as players have changed, the U.S. has been able to stay near the top?
Well, it certainly helps when you historically have had early success. And we have. We won the first World Cup in 1991. And then the Olympics, and then, you know, and then the World Cup in 99. So we've had a lot of early success. And I think that when you have that type of early success, you believe. So there's generations, my generation of women now, but girls at the time that believed they could be on that team and believed that they could win a World Cup because they've seen it done. And when you have role models that show you that things that can be done, it becomes entirely possible in your mind to be that person. And I think that gave us a huge leg up over other countries at the beginning. And now I think winning has become a part of our cultural identity with the national team. And so now it's just become like, hey, this is the very best of the best. And to be here, you have to be the very best of the best. And when you get the very best of the best, all living and training and playing together, you know, all of these months and these years, then you have this kind of snowball effect where it keeps getting, you know, bigger and it's getting harder to stop.
It's pretty special. It's pretty special to see that belief. Let me take a quick break. It is fun talking about soccer. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the big new change in women's soccer, the big new change in society, which is the new contract and the first time in history that women and men are going to get paid the same thing. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You know, the other big story that I think is really a transformational story and maybe the beginning of a new trend is this is the first World Cup after the equal pay agreement went into effect. For those who aren't familiar, do you want to share a little bit about what happened and how it happened and what that means?
Sure. Historically, our women's national team has been underpaid by the U.S. Soccer Federation, and also FIFA. So,
and by the way, just to give a data point, if I may be wrong about this, but there was something like $400 million of prize money for the men's and $30 million for the women from FIFA historically. Huge gap.
Yeah, it's stupidly unequal. And so basically the origin of it dates back well before my time. But what happened in 2015 is that we were standing up there on the winner's podium and the confetti was falling down and we're celebrating all of our hard work and that we've been putting in since we were children. And what we realized is that everybody was making money but us. Our hard work. And we weren't making the money. The federations were, FIFA was, media rights holders were, sponsors were. Everybody was making money off of our win, and we weren't.
From you, right.
Right, exactly. But it was us that did it. And so we were like, this doesn't feel right. And so we started getting way more involved with our union, organizing and creating a space where we knew what we wanted and how we were going to go after it. And so in 2016 and 2017, we started paving the way with a new collective bargaining agreement, which took a giant leap forward. I think set the bar in terms of how we wanted to be respected and how we wanted to move forward with U.S. soccer. And then we said, you know what? Enough is enough. This is completely unfair. Historically, we have done better than the men, and we deserve to be paid equally to them. So we took that kind of part to court. We took it to the media. We even talked to the EEOC, which I don't know if you know this, but it's the Equal Employment
Opportunity Commission. Yep. Yep.
And so we started tackling this on like a three-pronged front and said, we're going to go after this and see how we can make this a reality. And we actually ended up doing it. We achieved equal pay, which is so cool because it's never been done in sport.
I'm not sure it's been done in society.
No, exactly. It sets this incredible precedent across the United States, but also the world. And I think that it's, you know, kind of seeps over into other areas that aren't sport, and just kind of sets this precedent that's like, okay, you know what? If they can do it in sport, we can do it in all of these other areas.
Right. Well, it's so many interesting elements to this. You know, first off, as you said, the women's team was far more successful. I think, if I remember correctly, lost the court case and still prevailed at the bargaining table. The other thing that's interesting is the role that the men's soccer team played in this. Do you want to share what happened there and what your thoughts were about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, at the beginning of this, I think it was a little bit difficult for the men to wrap their brains around what was going on with us and our lawsuit and what we were pushing for. I think the message, unfortunately, was one of pitting us versus them, which it really isn't. And so I think once we started digging down into it and talking to them and letting them know, hey, this isn't an us versus you thing. This is an us thing. This is an everyone thing. Like when you lift the tide lifts everybody. And so I think what happened is that they realized that this is not only beneficial for us, but it will be beneficial for them as well. And I think they took a really principled stand, and I'm really proud of them for the stand that they took, because it's not been done really around the world. And it has in other countries, but not to the extent where the men actually are sharing what they earn with women to create equality. Even in Norway, where they do have equal pay with their women's national team, the men aren't sharing their FIFA money that they win with the women. So this is a historic deal. These men actually took so much pride in wanting to create a landscape where it's more fair for women and other marginalized communities, that they actually gave up some of their own earnings to create that new landscape for a future that looks better and brighter.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, look, not to make the men the hero in the story, because actually I don't think that's the point, but it is important in the kind of conversation about allies to think about. You know, it's all well and good to advocate for someone else. It's really a different story when you advocate for someone else at your own expense, because you know it's the right thing. And as you said, they are getting paid less. They took money out of their pocket because they believe that they want to get paid the same as women. And it puts the U.S. in an unusual position of being a leader here. So it is really interesting that if you think about back to being a little girl and what you wanted to be when you grew up, and just where we started the conversation, it's like that success you talked about, that winning culture, that being part of women's soccer, where it would lead, that it would actually end up being the place that broke society's back on this kind of incredible amount of inequity.
Yeah, I mean, when you say you're an ally isn't just saying that you're an ally. It's not showing up to the pride parade in all rainbow. You know what I mean? It's not like, that's not being an ally. That's just partying with the queer community.
I look good in rainbow, by the way, just so you
know. Well, like, rainbow's a great color on a lot of people. But what I'm saying is that allyship means actually taking a principled stand where you're sticking your neck out in a way that, honestly, we have to do every single day of our lives. Just because we're women, we have to endure things that men don't have to endure simply because we are the opposite gender. And so this is the type of allyship that I know the story isn't about the men, but I want people to know that this is something to be proud of, because If people are proud of this and see the men doing this as an example, then more people will. And that will only create a better world. And honestly, I don't think in the long run that the men will be having any money out of their pockets. because in the long run, I think things are definitely going to like just create more opportunity and money for each other.
Right. Well, and now you're a professional soccer player, obviously, in the NWSL, and there is not yet parity, at least as far as I know, between the NWSL and the Major League Soccer, MLS. Is that next? I mean, is that where this needs to go next?
Hell yeah. That's definitely where this needs to go next. And hopefully, I've been saying to everybody that has been watching, I'm like, hey, you can see these players play week in and week out in the NWSL. These players are playing against each other every single week in the NWSL, and these are high quality matches where every team is competitive. So there's not going to be a bad match to watch in this whole league. So I encourage people, be like, hey, stoke that fandom and make sure that the fandom keeps on going even after this World Cup ends, because I think once you create more eyeballs and create more fandom and create more community around the NWSL, that only leads to better things for the players in it, for the fans, for the cities in which these teams play, the communities there. So to me, it's just as we keep going, we just need to keep making sure that we're not leaving behind the women that are, you know, creating this league that is the staging place for the World Cup. Like the 23 best players in the country shouldn't just get to benefit off of the, you know, the hard work of everybody creating a better landscape for soccer. But like, we need to make sure that everybody is benefiting from the World Cup and the NWSL and the eyeballs on this game.
Okay, Megan, let's take one more final break. And now we're going to want to come back. One of the things I want to ask you is, what happens when you realize your dreams, which you did as a young person? You know, what's next? What's coming up for you next? And I think you've got an exciting project we'll talk about, as well as finish up talking about the issues around the pay gaps in this country and that argument. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
So what's the response to the people who are listening who are saying, sure, I support equality, but doesn't the money follow the revenue? And if someone pays more for an advertisement on a men's sport than they pay on a women's sport because there's more eyeballs, isn't that just the way it goes? And isn't that the same thing as, you know, why LeBron James gets paid more than, you get my point. I'm sure you've heard that argument over and over again.
I've heard that argument a lot. And I feel like it's been debunked at this point, but clearly the people that need to hear this aren't listening very hard, because it's not about the revenue. It's about the investment. The men's game has, 1,000x more investment than the women's game. So how can we even compare revenue when the investment is just so far off? That doesn't even make sense. It's an apple to oranges argument that has absolutely no bearing on common sense. And I feel like if you use it, it's only because you don't want women to be able to earn equal pay, or you don't want equality.
Well, to be fair, I think there probably are people who haven't thought enough about the issue, who hear that argument and don't necessarily know how to refute it, may feel like, huh, I don't think that should be right. But boy, isn't this the way business works? Why is that wrong? And so I think you've given an answer.
But I mean, at the same time, it's like, how can you expect, like, if you invest $1,000 or $10 in something, it's like a totally different outcome after 10 years. And I think the men's game has been, you know, it's been going for hundreds of years. Like, the women's professional league has only been around for 10. And so to compare investment, when you compare investment and then you also compare the time that the league has had to develop a fan base, it's just not the same. It's not really a comparison game. I just think that what is deserved is more investment, and it just needs to be more each year. It doesn't need to be crazy. It just needs to be more. And we need to get to a point where we're like, hey, this is something that is going to be, and I think we are getting there, by the way, this is going to be something that's going to blow up. Because I really do think that women's leagues are going to blow up, and they're going to be a great investment, because the men's game is filled with money, and I don't know how much bigger it can get. But the women's game has the potential to be where the men's game is, and it's 1,000x less right now. So imagine that type of, you know, return on your investment if you get in at this point in the women's game.
Sure. Yeah. Well, look, and I think we have rules and we have laws and we have collective bargaining for a reason. And the reason is because capitalism doesn't dictate our worth. And I think the decision that has been, people have been asking for years, we finally broke it through. And I think this is what one of the things that should give people really great optimism. Subsequent to this agreement, the Equal Pay Act for Team USA came in front of Congress, and in December of last year, and it passed the Senate with 100 votes. So Team USA, all sports, now have to pay men and women the same. And not a single senator voted against it. So if you're looking for signs that we're not all screwed up, that we actually do have a value system, that we do believe in the right thing, there's massive consensus on this issue. I mean, and so for people who are hearing that old argument, I would point to the United States Senate, which has just plenty of people with plenty of differing views, not always supportive of women, to be clear, who are supporting this. And I think that's a fascinating and really positive step.
Well, this is me learning that 100 senators voted for this bill. I knew it passed, but I didn't know it passed with 100% of the senators. That's really cool. Thank you for the...
It's very cool. So, okay, so now you've reached your childhood dream. You surpassed your childhood dream, let's be honest. You wanted to play with UNC. You did that, and you won a World Cup. And so what's next? I mean, obviously the big prize ahead is having a podcast of your own, right?
Of course it is. Who doesn't want a podcast, right?
Oh, I could tell you. It's once you've done that, you're on easy street. Tell us about your podcast.
Sure. It's called My New Favorite Futbolista. And it is a podcast featuring 10 women from different countries, but going to the World Cup. And what we did is we dug into their stories, and it's not about soccer. It's about them as humans. They're inspiring, sometimes devastating, joyful, hopes and dreams and journeys that we dug in and talked with them about. And It was honestly one of the coolest things that I've done in my entire career. And I had an absolute blast getting to know these women as people, not just soccer players. And I highly recommend that people give it a listen, not because of me, but because these stories are worth highlighting and these women are worth the, like, shining the light on them.
You really seem to have fun with it. I mean, it really, am I wrong?
No, I had a blast. I mean, okay, soccer is my passion. I love soccer. I've never found anything else that gives me that same feeling that soccer gives. But this has come very close. I have had a blast. I got to just be me, get curious, which is one of my favorite things to be, ask the questions, learn new things, get to know people, and then spread that around to other people so they get to know these women in the way that I got to know them. It's been such a blessing.
It's so funny you say that, Megan, because I find that our best shows are 100% when I'm super curious and super interested in the other person like I am in you. And we just talk about whatever matters to you and what's interesting to you and about you. And I think that shows through. And if I can't bring that, then, you know, I'm the wrong host. We got the wrong guest or whatever. But if it's fun for me, it's fun for the audience. That's kind of how I've sort of tended to see it.
Oh, totally. I mean, these women were talking about things in their lives that they don't usually talk about. So whether it's their mother's death or their ovarian cancer treatment at 15
years old.
Yeah.
What an incredible story that was.
Yeah. Or their immigrant journey to America. Like, these are vulnerable topics and they don't usually get brought up in the media. And so I felt that the only way for me to be able to tell these stories in the best way possible was to be vulnerable myself and authentic myself. Because if they were brave enough to do it, then I certainly had to be.
Right. Let's pour some gasoline on it and light it on fire. Right?
Precisely.
Precisely. Well, Megan, thank you so much. So kind of you to come into the bubble. Very excited to watch the rest of the cup. I'll be thinking about, you know, like having your commentary alongside me, because I love to watch with people who really get it, because there's so many subtle things that happen that just change the game. It's just so much fun. It's such an exciting time.
Well, and the subtleties are like the best parts of the game, aren't they?
Totally.
When you're
totally
able to get to the point where you can enjoy something so much because of the subtleties, like the pass to the correct foot, or the weight of the pass, or just like how they shut down angles, but they're not even in the area of the ball. Like, when you get to that point as a fan and you get to see that and see these incredible players do that stuff, I mean, it's just like a different type of watching, isn't it?
Totally. It's so cool. And to boot, watching soccer now, knowing that for the first time, we're beginning to pay people fairly, that's also pretty freaking cool also.
Yes, that is definitely pretty freaking cool.
Megan, great to talk to you.
Thank you. It's been a blast.
Thank you to Megan. Really great episode. Really great to talk to her. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the summer. Let me tell you, we've got a few great episodes coming up. The new head of the CDC, Mandy Cohen, will be on shortly, as will Congresswoman Susan DelBene from Washington, as well as more. That's all I can tell you. More good stuff as we're getting through our summer programming. So hope you are enjoying our once-a-week format. I'm having fun bringing the show to you. I think we're getting some really great guests. Email me, tell me more what you need, and we will respond and we will get on it. We got a couple great suggestions this week. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to In the Bubble. If you like what you heard, rate and review, and most importantly, tell a friend about the show. Tell anyone about the show. We're a production of Lemonada Media. Kyle Sheely is the senior producer of our show. He's the main guy, and he rocks it with me every week. The mix is by Noah Smith, and he's a wizard. He does all the technical stuff, and he's a cool guy. Steve Nelson is a vice president of weekly content. He's well above average. And of course, the ultimate big bosses are Jessica Cordova Kramer and Stephanie Whittleswax. They are wonderful, inspiring, and they put the sugar in the lemonade. They executive produced the show along with me. Our theme was composed by Dan Malad and Oliver Hill, and additional music is by Ivan Karyev. You can find out more about our show on social media at Lemonada Media, where you can also get a transcript of the show and buy some In the Bubble gear. Email me directly at andy@lemonadamedia.com. You can find my Twitter feed at aslavitt, and you can download In the Bubble wherever you get your podcasts or listen ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership. Thank you for listening.
What a great conversation. Thank you, Andy and Megan. And thank you for listening to my new favorite futbolista. If you have not already listened to all of the previous episodes, check out our feed to meet some of the most inspiring players from the Women's World Cup. You'll hear from Team USA phenoms like Sophia Smith and Naomi Girma, and international rising stars like Colombia's Linda Caicedo. And make sure to also check out In the Bubble with Andy Slavitt, which has new episodes out every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.